From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The current unemployment rate in the U.S. is 9.1%. And changing that number is urgent in the White House. In a few minutes, we'll hear about President Obama's latest push for job creation.
But first to a higher number, 19%. That's the unemployment rate for African-American men. And economists don't expect that number to fall significantly anytime soon, as NPR's Sonari Glinton reports.
Ypsilanti in southeast Michigan has one of those old-school main streets, bank, bakery, barbershop. On the second floor of the most modern building on the street, you'll find the Office of Michigan Works.
Hi. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Michigan Works is a public-private collaboration that helps get the unemployed retrained and back into the job world. George Tolles with Michigan Works says at his office, you can get access to the internet for job searches, get interview and resume training, and other help looking for work.
They can make use of our fax and copy machines, our interview rooms where they can go in and talk to employers.
On any given day, Toll sees about 150 to 200 clients. Ypsilanti is only about 30% black, but Toll says the majority of the clients he sees in a day are African American, like Fernando Payne. Payne is a carpenter who hasn't had full-time work in 3.5 years since the housing market collapsed.
The bottom fell out. I was like the first one, probably the village.
Payne says he's luckier than others. His wife of 13 years has solid work as a nurse, so he's been taking care of their 4 children and going back to get a degree in business administration. Payne says even with extra training, he's still finding it hard to find a job.
They tell you to get a trade. You'll be fine with a trade. Been there, done that for 20 years. They say you need a better education. So when the bottom fell out, I went and got a better education, and I'm still in the same boat.
The overall unemployment rate has been hovering in the 9% range. But for African Americans, it's much higher. And for black men, even higher still. 18.7% were out of work in May, according to the Labor Department.
One of the unique things or features of this recession was it was called a man session.
Bill Rogers is a professor of public policy at Rutgers University in New Jersey.
White men and African-American men and Latino men really bore the brunt of it because of the dramatic losses or contraction in construction and manufacturing.
Rogers says for the unemployment rate for minorities to fall to the single digits, the U.S. economy would have to have the kind of growth it had in the 1990s.
We're not going to get back to pre-recession job levels for, 4 to 5 years. And when you add the urban twist in, it becomes, I would say, crisis or epidemic levels.
What distresses me more than anything is that it has gotten worse.
Mark Morial is head of the National Urban League.
Here we are, 50 years after the glorious 1960s, and the problem of unemployment in the black community is as bad as it's ever been.
Earlier this week, the U.S. Conference of Mayors came out with a report showing cities such as Detroit and Cleveland with large black populations won't see single-digit unemployment this decade. Again, Mark Morial.
I think what it says is that if we do nothing, we are in for a period of a decade or longer of very high unemployment. And the social cost and the human costs of that are something we haven't even calculated as a nation.
Morial says he wants Republicans and Democrats to focus on job creation, but he's especially looking towards President Obama for leadership. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
Construction workers on the Boston waterfront are back on the job. They broke ground this week on a massive building project at Fan Pier after years in limbo. The developer says it's the largest private sector construction project in the country. And it's seen as a positive sign for the economy, as we hear from Kurt Nickisch of member station WBUR.
It's the sort of event that almost makes you forget the recession ever happened. Under a big white party tent with balloons and band lights, bankers and developers beamed proudly next to the mayor and governor, each holding a silver shovel.
Hold it for a moment for the photographers.
As the row of white collars poised to dump their shovelfuls of sand, technicians readied confetti guns and smoke
All right.
machines.
We'll do it on a countdown. 3, 2, 1, go!
purple and white streamers filled the tent like a snow globe, and you could practically feel years of frustration venting into the harbor air. Put on hold 4 years ago amid the worsening financial climate, this prime piece of commercial real estate is finally under development. One tenant alone will occupy more than 1 million square feet of office space. Those modern glass buildings will anchor more structures: a hotel, retail stores, restaurants, and condominiums.
Going to create a lot of work for a lot of trades.
Leaning against the backhoe in his brown hard hat and suspenders, Joe White watched the festivities from a distance. He'll be supervising some of the 1,000 new construction jobs here and says it's a long time coming.
Like the whole economy, everybody's been holding back on the building, and right now, this is opening up.
White would know. He's an excavator, and new construction, putting holes in the ground, has been the hardest thing to finance lately.
The key to this particular project was finding the right tenant that was going to have steady cash flows going forward.
Robert Marquez is a finance professor at Boston University, and he says that tenant is Vertex Pharmaceuticals. The biotech research company just got FDA approval to sell its first major commercial drug, a potential blockbuster. Marquez says that turned the light from red to green.
For investors, financing a project is always about risk. Getting a tenant in that has FDA approval for a breakthrough drug dramatically reduces that risk.
So in this case, Boston's economy is being rewarded for companies here that have invested in R&D. Mayor Tom Menino hopes the area around the Fan Pier development will attract more research companies. He's branding the waterfront area the Innovation District.
There are developers we've met with who are looking at the Innovation District much differently than they had 6 months ago. With Vertex making their investment in this waterfront, they know there's great possibilities.
Those possibilities are finally becoming reality for the developer of Fan Pier. Even as Joe Fallon has been fighting the tight credit markets, he's been optimistically staging events on the waterfront. Fallon told the audience at the groundbreaking that later this summer, he's bringing in cliff divers who will jump from a nearby building into the harbor.
The reason I'm bringing cliff diving, because if we weren't getting going, I was going to jump.
But the development is getting going. In Boston, things are improving. The hard-hit commercial real estate and construction industries are stepping back from the cliff. For NPR News, I'm Kurt Nikish in Boston.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Next week, the Greek government will reveal a 5-year austerity plan. It's been drafted by the European Union, the International Monetary Fund, and the European Central Bank. Parliament's approval is required if Greece is to receive an installment of $17 billion as part of last year's international bailout. But the new measures include even deeper spending cuts and tax hikes than those that have triggered weeks of massive street demonstrations. NPR Sylvia Poggioli reports that a number of economists believe Greece's international lenders may be on a harmful and inefficient course.
Apostolos Vranos gives English lessons, and in the year since the government introduced austerity measures, he's seen his earnings slashed by some 40%. Like many other angry Greek demonstrators, Vranos now considers himself a budding economist. He says Greece's international lenders have pushed the country into a debt trap with no way out. He calls it extortion.
So next time they will loan us more money to save us from the previous debts and make sure that we accumulate even more debt.
Greece has already achieved a remarkable 5% reduction of its deficit through massive cuts in wages and pensions of public sector workers and steep tax hikes. Now the EU, IMF, and European Central Bank, known as the Troika, have demanded even tougher measures for further funds. In addition to more wage cuts, the tax-exempt ceiling will drop from an annual income of $17,000 to $11,000, and there will be a tax increase on heating oil. The government will have to privatize state assets, including the telephone and postal companies, the ports of Piraeus and Thessaloniki, the national railway system, vast real estate holdings, and the national lottery. The protesters in the streets accuse the government of selling the country off. Aware of such intense popular resistance, the Troika had hoped the opposition party would show bipartisan support.
If this is a rescue plan, I don't want to be rescued, but I want to be rescued with a different plan.
Chrysantos Lazaridis is an advisor to the leader of the opposition party. He says New Democracy wants to renegotiate the terms imposed by the Troika.
You should not implement heavy taxes upon an economy that's been already in deep recession. This is exactly what happened, and it didn't work.
But Spyros Kouvelis, a leading member of the ruling socialist PASOK party, says the prime minister's task is extremely difficult.
It's a give and take, and at this stage, you do not have much room to maneuver. Frankly, I wouldn't want to be in the position of George Papandreou. It's a very difficult case because he has to do a thing which is almost a one-way street to avoid bigger damage.
Several analysts, however, are questioning the wisdom of lending money at high interest rates to a bankrupt country reeling from deep recession.
The crisis is getting worse. It deepened in Greece. It spread its wings to the rest of the Eurozone. It's doing this as we speak.
Economist Yanis Varoufakis says with the economy shrinking by 4% this year, the sovereign debt is spiraling by the day. International lenders, he says, should realize that Greece's default is inevitable.
What are they going to do about it? They have no clue. And this is why they keep giving Greece and Spain and Ireland and Portugal these astonishingly mindless expensive loans to the bankrupt just to buy time.
The Troika, Varoufakis says, is prescribing new doses of a failed policy.
Europe has to realize that this is simply a symptom, just like Lehman Brothers was a symptom, it was not the cause of the problem. This is a systemic crisis. And Greece is simply the canary in the mine.
The Greek crisis has revealed the shortcomings of the single currency, a one-size-fits-all euro for 17 sharply different countries without common fiscal and economic guidance. The outcome of the crippling debt crisis in Athens could determine how and whether the entire eurozone can survive. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Athens.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Susan Stamberg. The latest surveys show that both business owners and consumers have been losing confidence in the economy. When people feel uncertain about the future, they just don't want to spend money. And that lack of spending is making everything worse. We're going to zero in on this recent slump in confidence with NPR's senior business editor, Marilyn Giwax. Hi.
Hi, Susan.
What is behind this outbreak of pessimism?
Well, as the year began, confidence in the U.S. economy was rising. A lot of people felt that the recovery was finally starting to take hold. But more recently, that confidence is starting to slip again. Even the Federal Reserve officials this past week, they said they were less confident about growth now. And the reasons for this backsliding are different for businesses and for consumers. So let's just start with businesses. Mm-hmm. If you look at the record amounts of cash that corporations have on hand, you would think that business owners and corporate managers would be feeling pretty fat and happy. Mm-hmm. They have more than $1.6 trillion in cash reserves, but they're reluctant to take any chances with that money, which means they're holding off on hiring workers. They're not developing new products, new services. They just feel a lot safer sitting on that cash because they see so much uncertainty out there.
Well, what's making them so unsettled about that?
For one thing, no one knows what's going to happen with this federal debt ceiling. For months now, Congress has been wrestling with ways to either cut federal spending or raise the ceiling. But if lawmakers can't reach a deal, that could trigger fears of a default, and that in turn could lead to a new financial crisis. And even if all of these political problems were finally worked out somehow, mm-hmm. business leaders would still be worried about real estate and manufacturing in this country.
Well, let's start with real estate. The market is, it's terrible. It's really terrible. What's the latest?
Well, just this past week, we got a fresh round of reports that showed that home sales were down and prices are still continuing to drop.
Yeah, and what about in manufacturing?
This spring, the manufacturing sector started weakening again, too. And that's really disappointing because manufacturing had been such a bright spot when the year began. To get a reliable recovery going, the country needs to see consistent strength in manufacturing, and real estate has to really rebound. Mm-hmm. Until then, most business owners are just going to remain wary.
Okay, so that's the corporations. What about consumers?
Consumers turned gloomy when gasoline prices spiked up earlier this spring. The prices are down now from May, but gasoline is still about a dollar a gallon more than it was last year at this time. And of course, food prices are higher too. But really, the biggest wet blanket is this lousy job market. Mm. The unemployment rate slipped down to 8.8% back in March, but then you remember it bounced back up again, so it's up to 9.1%. that's a problem even for people who do have jobs. A slack labor market means that workers aren't likely to get meaningful raises this year. Businesses are saying they're still getting 6 applicants for every job opening, so they don't feel any pressure to raise wages. And that kind of slow wage growth, it's just psychologically tough for consumers.
So raises would change the mood of consumers?
Yeah, I think the number one thing is for people to get some decent raises, and they also need to see their neighbors get jobs. They need to see home prices stabilize. But unfortunately, none of those things seems very likely in the near future.
Please, just a little glimmer of possibility.
Well, we did get some glimmers. Lately, gas prices have been declining with oil prices going down, and that's good. And on Friday, we had a new report that showed businesses increased their orders for machinery, electronics, airplanes, and all of that happened in May. And on Tuesday, we're going to get this latest Consumer Confidence Index report. That'll give us a little bit of a better idea whether those improvements in gas prices and this little uptick in manufacturing were enough to cheer us up.
Sitting there with fingers crossed, NPR senior business editor Marilyn Juex. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.